before Adam sinned, he lived in communion with God. He had perfect fellowship with the living God. He walked with God. He talked with God. But after Adam broke the covenant, after Adam took the forbidden fruit, after Adam sinned against God's word, Adam could have no more familiar fellowship and communion with the Father. And under the Mosaic dispensation, and when we talk about the Mosaic dispensation, we're talking about the days of the tabernacle. We're talking about the days of the written law. We're talking about the days of the sacrifices, when the high priest would offer the blood of atonement once a year on the mercy seat. Under this dispensation, in which God was pleased to dwell among His people, He dwelt among His people. He manifested His presence to them. He led them out of Egypt to Canaan, and His presence was always with them in the pillar of fire by night and in the cloud which led them by day. And in the tabernacle, which always was erected in the middle of the camp. But even in this dispensation and during these days, the separation was still there. And it was painfully revealed that sin had still separated the people from God. And the presence of God, though He was with them, was hidden away from mortal eye and foot. God's presence was in the Holy of Holies. God dwelt in the tabernacle, but He dwelt in the Holy of Holies. And no person could come near to His presence or into His presence except one way, and that once a year. And that's what we've been reading about in the 16th chapter of Leviticus, and that's what we read about in Hebrews 10. I'd like for you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, or chapter 9. Hebrews 9, verse 7 and 8. Even in the wilderness, when God's presence was with the people, and God dwelt with them, it was painfully aware that sin still separated them from God. God dwelt in the Holy of Holies. And it says in verse 7 of Hebrews 9, into the second, that is the second compartment, the Holy of Holies, went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which He offered for Himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Now, I want you to get that picture because it's important to all of the message. God dwelt among the people, but they still could not approach His presence. God's presence was in the Holy of Holies, in the small compartment in the tabernacle. And only once a year, one man, the high priest, and not without a blood sacrifice, would go into that Holy of Holies and put that blood on the mercy seat and make an atonement for the people. Now, our subject this morning illustrates the appointed way to God, the way of access to God. It shows that the way to God is only by atonement, by the blood, by the way of sacrifice, by the way of Calvary. In John 14, verse 6, our Lord said, I am the way. Turn over there just a moment. In John 14, verse 6, the Lord said, where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto Him in verse 5, Lord, we don't know where You're going. How can we know the way? And Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, how can a sinner approach God today? How can a sinner come before God and be accepted and be forgiven? Well, we do know this. Just like back yonder under that dispensation, they could only come God's way. They could only come in God's own appointed way. God devises the way. God reveals the way. God provides the way. Now here they are, back in the wilderness. God dwelt in the Holy of Holies. He did not live out among the people. He did not walk with them and talk with them and fellowship with them. They could come into the presence of God only one way, and that once a year by one man as their representative with the blood sacrifice. Now, this is one of the most important chapters in the Bible. And before I proceed further, I want to make this one thing very clear. That in Leviticus 16, what we've been reading about here is only a type. It's only a picture. It's only a shadow. This high priest could not atone for sin that I read about in Leviticus 16. He could not effectually put away sin. These sacrifices of blood could not take away guilt. Not at all. I'll show you that in Hebrews chapter 10. This is a picture. This is a type. This is a means of instructing us. This is a shadow of good things to come. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 1. For the law, the ceremonial law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Just can't do it. And it stands to reason, verse 2, if they could make the comers perfect, they would have ceased to be offered. In other words, when God dwelt in the Holy of Holies, keep that place there just a moment. When God dwells in the Holy of Holies, and Aaron went under the veil, took the blood, put it on the mercy seat, if that could actually, effectually, put away sin, take away guilt, he wouldn't have to do it anymore, because guilt, having been put away, is put away. Sin, having been forgiven, is forgiven. Atonement, having been made, is made. So that's what he's saying in verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, would have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. So what I'm reading about here in Leviticus 16 is a picture. It's a type. It's a shadow. In other words, what God is showing us here in Leviticus 16, he's showing us a picture of the real and only way to approach God, the access to God. Now, here is the tabernacle, and God dwelt in the Holy of Holies, his presence, his fellowship, his forgiveness, his grace. And once a year, that high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and put the blood on the mercy seat, and God would forgive the people, but looking to the coming of another. Now, I want us to look at four things. And this Day of Atonement was once a year, the seventh month, the tenth day. And these sacrifices continued until Christ came. Now, let's look at four things. First of all, the person who made the atonement. And then secondly, the sacrifice by which the atonement was made. And thirdly, the effects of that atonement. And fourthly, the behavior of those who participate. Now, first of all, Leviticus 16, verse 3. The person who made the atonement. As I said a moment ago, this is one of the most important chapters in the Bible. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we can find out how these people approach God, if we can find the way of access to God, if we can find out how God says that He may be approached in an acceptable manner, how sin can be put away, how God can walk with us, if we can find out that, then we can approach Him. But we can't otherwise. Now, first of all, the person who made the atonement. Verse 3 says, Thus shall Aaron, thou shalt Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and for a ram for a burnt offering. And verse 17 says, And there shall be no man in the tabernacle when he goes in. It's Aaron, the high priest. Now, there are other priests back then who ministered about the tabernacle and who served God. There were a lot of priests. There were dozens and dozens of priests who ministered about the tabernacle outside and served God. Just as there are other priests in the kingdom of God. I'm a priest. You're a priest. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 1. Listen to this. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. Revelation 1, 6. Every person who's redeemed by the blood of Christ is a priest. Every person who is saved is a priest. It says in Revelation 1, 6, And hath made us kings. Well, go back to verse 5. The latter part of verse 5. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Christ hath made us a priest. Now, Revelation chapter 5. Turn over there just a moment. Revelation 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. And then Peter calls us a royal priesthood. So there are other priests in the kingdom of God. There were other priests here when the atoning sacrifice was made. But it was only Aaron, the high priest, who could offer the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. Only Aaron. He killed every bullock. He killed every ram. He killed every sacrifice. He made every offering. If I remember correctly, there was something like 16 animals that were killed on the Day of Atonement in the different sacrifices and the different offerings. And Aaron killed every single one of them. Nobody else on that day, no other priest, did anything. Nothing whatsoever. It was all Aaron, the high priest. Everything was Aaron. He was the only person who could approach the Holy of Holies and offer the sacrifice. Now, secondly, that's established. The person who made the sacrifice was Aaron. Secondly, not only was it Aaron, the high priest, but it was Aaron, the humble priest. Now, in Leviticus 16, verse 4, He shall put on the linen coat. He shall put on the linen coat. And he shall have linen breeches upon his flesh, and girded with a linen girdle. With a linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. You say, what significance does that have? Well, on all other days, Aaron the high priest, wore golden garments. He wore a mitre of pure gold about his brow. He wore a breastplate covered with precious stones and gems. That breastplate was adorned with pure gold. On other days, Aaron wore expensive, magnificent, golden garments. But on the Day of Atonement, he was stripped of all those garments. The golden mitre was taken off his head. The golden breastplate studded with beautiful gems, and the golden garments and girdle was taken off and laid aside. And Aaron was dressed in simple, plain linen clothing. That's a picture of Christ our Lord. The only one who can make the atonement for sinners is Christ, the high priest. Nobody else can have any part in it. It's only Christ. Not Christ plus anyone or anything, but Christ alone. As Aaron went alone into the holy place, he typified and shadowed Christ, foreshadowed Christ, who bore our sins alone. And then when Aaron took off the golden mitre and the golden breastplate and the golden garments and laid them aside and clothed himself in simple, plain linen, he is picturing Christ our Lord, who laid aside the glory and beauty and magnificence of his divine station in heaven and came down here clothed in the likeness of sinful flesh. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians the second chapter, verse 5 through 8, we have that revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. In Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, with all the glory thereof, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, for he was God. But he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So it was Aaron alone who offered the sacrifice. It was Aaron the humbled priest. And then verse 4 says something else in Leviticus 16. It tells us it was Aaron, the spotless priest, who came into God's presence. Over and over again, verse 4, I think it's 5 times, it is said that Aaron had to wash, 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 wash on that day. And therefore shall he wash his flesh in water and put on the linen garment. This is typical of the purity and spotlessness and sinlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who had no sin. This is my beloved Son, the Father said, in whom I'm well pleased. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. So when Aaron the high priest took off the golden garments and laid them aside, and put on the linen clothes, he is typifying Christ, who left heaven's glories and came down here clothed in simple human flesh. And when Aaron went through all of these washings, when he washed his body again and again and again and again before he approached into the presence of the Father, he is typifying the purity and holiness and immaculate spotlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who did no sin. And then in the next place, verse 17, and there shall be no man in the tabernacle. Nobody around there. There better not be. No man in the outer court, no man in the inner court, no man. There shall no one be there. No one was present to assist Aaron in this sacrifice, in this atonement. in this sin offering. No disciple was with Christ when he walked the winepress of God's wrath, when he drank the bitter cup of God's wrath against our sin. He did it alone. Our Lord was in the garden alone, in the soldier's hall alone, in Pilate's court alone, on the cross alone. So when we see Aaron, the high priest, selected by God, no man takes this honor upon himself, but he who is chosen and ordained and anointed. And Aaron was the one God picked. God said, Moses, Aaron shall come into the holy place. He's my elected one. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Father's chosen, ordained, elected Redeemer, our great high priest. Aaron, the humble priest, had to lay aside all the beautiful, priceless garments and take on himself the simple, plain linen clothes, as Christ took our flesh. Aaron had to wash again and again because Aaron had unclean flesh. When Aaron went into the holy place, he had to first of all make a sacrifice for himself. That's the reason he took two kids, two bullocks. There were three of them, really, one for himself and one for the atonement and one for the scapegoat. But he had to, first of all, sanctify himself, purify himself. But Christ Jesus, the Lord, our Savior, our High Priest, had no sin. And then Aaron went in there alone. That was a solemn day. God's presence and glory hung about that place with awesome majesty. And the whole tabernacle was empty except for the presence of God. And here is this man, Aaron, having dressed himself just like God said, having washed himself over and over again. No one around. No other person. No other priest. No one. It was empty and silent and solitary in that tabernacle as that man took the basin of blood and walked into that holy place, into the presence of God, all alone, all alone. It was alone that my Savior prayed in dark Gethsemane. Alone he drained the bitter cup and suffered there for me. It was alone the Savior stood in Pilate's judgment hall. Alone the crown of thorns he wore, forsaken thus by all. Alone upon the cross he hung, that others he might save. Forsaken there by God and man, alone his life he gave. Alone, alone he bore it all, alone. He gave himself to save his own, and he suffered. And he bled, and he died alone. All right, in the second place now, the sacrifice whereby the atonement was made. Turn to verse 15 of Leviticus 16. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring the blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat, and he shall make an atonement. An atonement for the holy place. Now then, the priest stabbed the bullock. He took that lamb, perfect, spotless lamb, without blemish, the firstling of the flock, and he stabbed the knife into the heart of that bullock. And as the blood gushes forth, the bullock died. Jesus Christ, our sacrifice. For Christ is not only the priest, but he's also the sacrifice. He died for our sin. The sword of God's wrath, the sword of God's justice, the sword of God's vengeance upon sin entered his heart, and his blood poured forth. Now turn to Hebrews 9, verse 11. I want you to look at this carefully. Hebrews 9, verse 11. Christ being come and high priest, Hebrews 9:11, of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once, not once a year, but once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 24. For Christ is not entered. Christ is our high priest. But he's not entered into the holy place made with hands, as Aaron did, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Hold it right there a minute. You see Aaron the high priest, once a year, with the blood of an animal, entering into the Holy of Holies, and sprinkling the blood on the mercy seat. Mercy seat means propitiation. Propitiation means mercy seat. Under that mercy seat was the law, the Ten Commandments on the tables of stone, right there in that ark, covered by the mercy seat. And when Aaron went in once a year with that blood of that animal and put it seven times on that mercy seat, then forgiveness, the forgiveness of God, the atonement was made. But he had to do it every year into that Holy of Holies, in that holy place with the blood of an animal. Now, Christ our Lord, that was the only access to God. Without that, God's wrath was upon the people. Without that, God's condemnation was upon the people. Without that, people had no contact with God, no fellowship with God, no access to God. But when that was done, as God ordered and as he ordained every year, there was peace with Israel and peace with God. Now, Christ didn't go in a tabernacle down here on this earth when he died and shed his blood. He's our high priest. He is the Lamb without spot or blemish. But he went, it says, not with the blood of bulls and goats, verse 12 of Hebrews 9. He entered into the holy place. And verse 24 says, not made with hands, but into heaven itself. Christ took whose blood? His blood. Into heaven itself. I don't know why preachers today are reluctant to talk about the blood offering, the blood atonement, the blood sacrifice. There's no other access to God except by the blood. There's no other way of forgiveness except by the blood of Christ. It says here that he went into the presence of God with his own blood to appear in the presence of God for us. Verse 25, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then, if that be true, must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world? He's been our high priest since before the world was created. And if he had to make more than one sacrifice, more than one offering, more than one atonement, he'd have had to die thousands and thousands and thousands of times between the foundation of the world and now. But now once, in the end of the world, and that's another reason why I believe these are the latter days. This is the sunset of creation. This is the end time. This is the latter days. Once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared on this earth to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's how sin's put away, by the sacrifice of himself. The law doesn't put it away. Baptism doesn't put it away. Church membership doesn't put it away. Religion doesn't put it away. Christ appeared one time and put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment, so Christ was offered to bear the sin of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So the sacrifice whereby the atonement is made is the sacrifice of God's Son one time on the cross of Calvary. And he took his precious blood and went not into the temple, into the holy place made with hands, but into heaven itself, in the presence of the Father. And there with his blood offered once in the end of this world, in the last day, he sanctified forever them that are perfected. Now, what is the effects of this atonement? Turn back to Leviticus 16. This is most important right here. The effects of this atonement. Verse 15 says, he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, that is, for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, sprinkle it on the mercy seat, and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place. The holy place, make an atonement for the tabernacle, that's right. Make an atonement for the tabernacle. Everything had to be sprinkled with blood. The book, the people, the priest, the tabernacle, everything had to be sprinkled with blood. Because though it's a holy place, and though it's God's dwelling place, it's been made unholy by the people. The holy things were made unholy by the people. Where God dwells is holy. But where man comes, it becomes unholy. The very presence of Aaron in that Holy of Holies made it unholy. The very touch of Aaron about that outer court made it unholy. The very touch of Aaron upon the mercy seat made it unholy. So it had to be made holy. He says here in verse 16, he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Now, brethren, the house of God, this is a holy place. This is the house of God. But the presence of you and me in here makes it unholy. Makes it unholy. But the blood of Christ hath made it holy. You see what I'm saying? That tabernacle erected there according to specifications, according to God's own appointment and direction. You say, well, that's a holy place. It was holy till Aaron came in there. It was holy till a man touched it. It was holy until the people became associated with it. It's unholy now. And so when Aaron put the blood on the mercy seat, he had to put it there for the holy place. He had to sanctify the holy place. And the house of God, this is a holy place. But the presence of men make it unholy. Well, what are we going to do? Well, there is no fear, for the blood of Christ makes it holy. Our Lord Jesus Christ has sanctified the holy place. He has sanctified the assembly of God's people. Now watch this. Take our prayer, for example. Prayer is holy, for the Holy Spirit dictates true prayer. But true prayer, even dictated by the Holy Spirit, comes out of unholy lips. That makes it unholy. And that makes it unholy. It's been profaned by our own mouths and our lips, our tongues and our mouths and our lips, and our very minds make prayer unholy. So that prayer has to be sanctified and made holy by the blood of Christ. Take your singing. Your singing and your praying and your assembly in God's presence. That's supposed to be holy. But our very presence and our very nature and our very existence makes it unholy. And it has to be sanctified by Christ. My preaching is supposed to be holy because I'm naming the name of God. I'm reading the book of God. I'm dealing with the precious things of God. But my preaching's unholy because it comes from an unholy mouth. It comes out of an unholy body. And so it has to be made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what the high priest did. He came there into the Holy of Holies. That's what makes this average preaching we listen to an abomination. I understand why people can move to other parts of the country and go and listen to a preacher and just say, well, there's no use going to church. That's a pack of foolishness. That's what it is. Talk about serving God and talk about what we do for God. Some fellow said on the radio I was listening to this morning, he said, well, I know we can't have angelic perfection. I know we can't have divine perfection, but there is a perfection we have. The only perfection Almighty God can be satisfied with is divine perfection. You go to cataloging sins and talk about, well, we're not real good, but we're pretty good. Brother, you're either holy or you're unholy. You're either God or you're a sinner. Christ said that. He said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. There's no degrees of goodness. You're either good or you're not good. You're either pure and holy or you're unholy. There's no degrees. And God can only be satisfied with perfection. So when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, and with the blood of atonement, he sanctified the holy place. You say, sanctify the holy place. That's right. Sanctified the holy place. Because the holy place was an unholy place when man came in there. And everything about us, no matter what we do, praise, sing, preach, worship, give, whatever we do, it's supposed to be holy. But it's made unholy by our very existence. And that's the reason Christ, with His precious blood, sanctifies us. And then notice this, verse 20. And I must be quick, deal with this quickly, but there was another goat. It says in verse 20, and when He hath made an end of reconciling the holy place, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and the altar, even the altar has to be purified. He shall bring the live goat. Remember I told you there were two. One was killed and its blood put on the mercy seat. Then there was a live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over that goat all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. Now then, when Aaron put the blood on the... And remember, my point now is the effects of the sacrifice. I dealt first of all with the person who made it, and how Aaron is a type of Christ in his humility, in his loneliness, in his spotlessness. Secondly, I dealt with the sacrifice. The atonement was made by killing the animal, killing the sacrifice, killing it, putting its blood on the mercy seat. And God looked at that blood and saw the death of Christ. Christ is our atonement. Christ is our sacrifice. He died for our sins. Now, I'm showing you the effect of that sacrifice. That blood made holy the holy place. It made holy the people. It made holy everything, even the altar. And Christ, our high priest, in His blood, makes us holy. We couldn't even say our Father. That's got enough sin in it to send you to hell right there. That's right. Just saying, our Father who art in heaven. Because you can't say it with the reverence with which it ought to be said. You can't say it with the glory with which it ought to be said. You can't say it with the majesty and honor with which it ought to be said. You say it with unclean lips. And it comes out of a mind that even when you're saying, our Father which art in heaven, you're thinking about something else. And so Christ's blood purifies our presence, it purifies our existence, it purifies our prayers, it purifies everything. Now the scapegoat shows the effects of the atonement. That scapegoat is not Christ. Now, you study that a little bit. Christ didn't go off into a never-never land, never to be heard from again. That goat never was heard from again. It's not a good type of Christ. You can take typology too far. The Old Testament has some beautiful types, but don't make types of Christ that aren't types of Christ, because you'll do a lot of damage. You have to be awful careful. That scapegoat is a type and a picture of not the victim, not the sacrifice, but simply what became of our sins. And Aaron confessed those sins over the head of the scapegoat, and a fit man would take him. And in the old belief is that he'd take him 12 miles out of Jerusalem, out into the wilderness, and watch him disappear. They said as the man left Jerusalem, every mile there was a place for him to sit and rest and get some water. He'd walk another mile. I'm talking about desert now. I'm not talking about walking down the street here in Ashton. I'm talking about walking through deserted desert. So every mile there'd be a place for this man to sit and rest, in the shade and some water. The last 2 miles, nothing. When he left the 10th mile and went the last 2 miles, nothing. He was to go out there into nothingness, into the wilderness, uninhabited, and watch that goat as that goat walked away, and as he left, stand there and watch it clear out of sight. Clear out of sight. And then when that goat had wandered out there clear away from everything, everybody, out of sight, nowhere, that man was to turn around and go back to the camp. And the people were there waiting on him when he came back. And he'd say, they're gone. And the people would all clap their hands and applaud and rejoice because the sins were no more. And that scapegoat is a picture of what happens to sin when Christ puts it away. It's gone. It disappeared. God says, their sins will I remember no more. Your sins are separated from you as far as the east is from the west, into never, never, never land. They just don't exist anymore. Now, that sacrifice, the third effect of the sacrifice, turn to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Here's the third effect. Hebrews 10, 19. Now then, you can come into the presence of God. You've been made a priest. You've been washed by the blood of Christ. You've had the blood of Christ to put away all your guilt, and effectual atonement's been made. Your sins are no more. You're spotless. Now God says in verse 19 of Hebrews 10, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I've got boldness to enter into the holiest. Don't sit out there and send somebody else into God's presence to represent you. Go yourself. Don't sit out there and send a priest or a cardinal or a bishop or a pope or somebody else into the presence of God. You go there yourself. Having, therefore, brethren, boldness, confidence, liberty to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil. What happened when Christ died on that cross? You remember? Well, the sun refused to shine, and the heavens grew black, and the rocks trembled and shook and broke open, and some dead people arose, and the centurion said, surely this man was the Son of God. But what else happened when Christ died on that cross? When the Lamb of God, the great atonement was made on Calvary once and for all. What happened? Down there in the temple, that old big veil that separated the Holy of Holies, into which Aaron went once a year and put this blood on the mercy seat, where the ark was, where the law was, where the mercy seat was. When Christ said it finished, That veil was torn in two from the top clear to the bottom. Our Father, take the message and use it to enlighten these darkened understandings.